Good afternoon, members. Sorry, members. The chairperson will be here shortly. He's just having difficulties with logging in. We are busy assisting him. Thank you.
Afternoon, members.
Afternoon, I'm here already. I'm here. I'm ready for the meeting. Good afternoon, how are you guys? I was battling to log in. Let me just check who is here so that we know who is in attendance. I see myself. I see Honorable Fanny Dutoy. I see Honorable Fetter. I see Honorable Ryder. I see Honorable Simeku. I see Honorable Gillian. Yeah. So we're okay. We're forming a quorum. I just want to check with regard to the heads of the law enforcement agencies. I see General Lebeya of the Hawk in South Africa. Help me here. The head of the SIU, Advocate Muchiri, is he part of the meeting? Just give me that indication.
He's waiting on the waiting room to be accepted.
Yes, please, Mkululeko and Lwazi, facilitate that Advocate Muchiri must log in. What about Advocate Batoi of the National Prosecuting Authority? Or anyone representing? Or I see.
Chairperson?
Amara Setaba, and who else?
Chairperson, it's Advocate de Kock, Deputy National Director to the NDPP. Just to confirm at this point that the NDPP notes an apology. She has other commitments prior to this arrangement, and she's deputized myself and Advocate Rabaji to lead the team of the MPA today. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's okay. This is here from the IPID, Independent Police. From IPID, who's here? Oh, I see Advocate Mutibu of the FIU is here. Yes.
Good afternoon, Chair. How are you, Advocate? Yes. Fine, Chair. Good afternoon to you and Honorable Nas.
Okay, wonderful. I want to heartily welcome all of you to this important meeting. Just as a way of a background, you will remember that last time around February this year, we met jointly all the components of the law enforcement agencies, based on the discussions that ensued at the time, we decided that we must individually meet with the law enforcement agencies. Yes, we did. We met with you separately. We met with the IPID. We went further to meet the FIU and the HOCS. We also met the National Prosecuting Authority, and all the heads of the national heads of this component were part of this important process that we are unfolding. And that as we are about to conclude our work as a Senate committee, not select committee, ad hoc committee, we have decided that today we must meet together, all of us, under one room. You are heartily welcomed. I've already welcomed members of parliament. I want to welcome everybody who's part of this meeting. And I want to submit my apology that we were supposed to start at 10 o'clock. I'm sure you will appreciate the fact that parliament at the moment is doing appropriation bills, is passing appropriation bills, very, very much involved. And they are even using Fridays when we are supposed to have meetings of this nature. And we have to shift our meeting from 10 o'clock in the morning to now at 3 o'clock. And I profoundly appreciate the fact that you cooperated with us, you understood our dilemma, and that you are here. Heartily welcomed. I checked the attendance register. We are sufficient members who are present here to constitute a quorum so that this meeting must go ahead. Yes. What we are going to do for the purpose of our meeting today, and I just want to recap, when the national cabinet, the national government under President Ramaphosa invoked section 100 of the constitution in relation to the Northwest, one of the most important aspects of that was the fact that there were allegations of corruption, allegations of malfeasance, allegations of fraud, and all these sorts of allegations that we discussed with you in the past. And now we had the possibility of getting some briefing from you as law enforcement agencies in terms of how you work, what you do, the kind and the nature of cases that you are investigating and progress that you had registered by that time. At that time, when we, after meeting with you, we were to submit a report before Parliament by the end of March. We got an extension as this committee, the ad hoc committee, to proceed with our work until the 24th of June. And we identified key stakeholders that we engaged with, and you are very much important. Law enforcement agencies are very much important in this work. We indicated in the past that the people of the Northwest want to know what happened to their money, why their monies were misappropriated, if indeed they were misappropriated. Why do people not comply with the tender regulations and all of that? Why did there were so many deviations? Why there were so many allegations about fraud, corruption, and all of that? And they needed to be investigated because the public deserve to know what has happened in this particular instance. You gave us the report individually and collectively. You gave us the report in terms of the nature, the progress of the cases that you were investigating. Today, I'm sitting with the reports that you presented before us in the last meeting. I want to measure that as against progress that has been registered, and we expect out of this meeting to hear progress that we have registered since we met about 3 to 4 months ago, because it is quite important that this particular process must be expedited in the best interest of the people of the Northwest. It's quite important. It is intrinsically linked to service delivery and how we must conduct ourselves as different spheres of government. Now, what we are going to do for the purpose of this meeting this afternoon, I'm going to take presentations from the three components. We have decided not to take the presentation from the IPID because they submitted the same presentation. They have indicated to us that as a watchdog body, they continue to watch and observe the work that the law enforcement entities that are accountable to them are doing in terms of their own work, and they continue to observe your work in that respect. Now, we are not going to take those presentations. We are going to take a presentation from the Hawks, followed by a presentation from the SIU, and lastly from the National Prosecuting Authority, in that order. I'm going to invite for almost between 20 and 30 minutes, invite General Lebea of the Hawks to brief us. I will then take Advocate Muchiri of the FIU, and lastly, any delegate, a person delegated by Advocate Batohi from the National Prosecutor's Authority to give us an update of the work that has been accomplished up to this far, comparing it with the work that was presented in the previous meeting. Based on that, I hope that as members of Parliament will have a very good discussion and engagement with you. We want more time to engage with the presentation so that when we report in Parliament on the 24th of June, we should be able to say, this is what we've done, these are the accomplishments, these are the cases that we have investigated moving forward. Without further ado, can I invite General Lebea of the Hawks to take us through the presentation, please? And you are heartily welcome, General, and your team. You will introduce your team and that they hit on with their presentation. Over to you, General Lebea.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the committee. I also greet my colleagues from the other departments, NPA, SIU. Honorable Chairperson, I am joined by Major General Mboto, who is the provincial head of the Hawks in the Northwest Province. He is going to be doing the presentation. He will do the loading of the slides that I is going to talk to. What I needed to highlight is that the presentation that we have submitted, it consists of two parts. The first part is just for information so that this committee may take note of matters, all the matters that we are working on, including those that are monitored by the interministerial task team. Just before we enter the part two, we have listed matters, 15 matters that are actually presented in both the interministerial task team as well as the presentation that is monitored by this August body of the committee. So when General Mboto load the slides, he will immediately move to part two of the presentation and start talking to the status of the matters that are being handled from there. So with those opening remarks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, let me give this opportunity to Major General Mboto to load the slides and make the presentation. I thank you.
Good afternoon to the Honorable Members. And good afternoon, Chair and the Honorable Members. I'm hoping that I'm audible. We've got some electricity challenges right now. I hope I can be heard.
You're in Klerksdorp as well?
Yes, I'm in Klerksdorp, Honorable
Chair. I'm in Klerksdorp, yes. I'm battling and I'm just crossing my fingers that my electricity must not disappoint. My gadget must not disappoint. They say the electricity has just gone down. I understand. I'm sorry about it.
No. Thank you very much, Chair. We are going to... Are we uploaded? Okay, let's go to the... Sorry for the delay. We are loading the presentation chat. Thank you, Honorable Sheikh. May I just confirm if it's visible, the presentation that we're going to be presenting on?
Yes, we can see. We can see. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Sheikh. We are going to be on this presentation, we're going to be talking to 33 cases. In our previous interaction, we reported on 29. We have since included four more that were not with SCCU, but were with the other lower courts. So that figure will now change to 33. On this 33, the number of court cases will be 5. And on the previous one, we had presented 2 cases that were in court. And we've then included the number of the accused persons. In this one, the number of accused persons will be 15. The number that of case of decision that are with NPA for guidance are now 7 and are still similar to the previous number, but the dockets are no longer the same ones. The number of cases that we have on investigation are 21, and the amount involved is the figure on the board. We have then broken down the one thing that I wanted to also mention, the number of cases that are referred to us by the administrators are 11. In the previous ones, there were 10. We've then broken also the departments, those that are under section 101A and those that are in section 101B. And Department of Social Development will have the most being 5, Department of Rural Economic and Agricultural Development 1, Department of Local Government and Human Settlement 3, Department of Finance we have 2, Department of Tourism 1, and then section 101B. Office of the Premier, we have 1. Of Health, we've got 6. That's 7. Department of 3. And that gives our total of 33 cases. This case is a court case. Those that we have marked green on the side will be those that are in court. In this case, it was the social worker that was defrauding those NGOs that had received funding. So this matter is before court. It will be appearing next month on the 27th. The second case is the one at Zirat. It's a Department of Social Development. Here, what happened was that the money that was given to the NGO, $545,000, was abused by the chairperson of the NGO. This case we've arrested the chairperson of the NGO, and the case will be appearing in court on the 7th. It's also a court case, 7th of July. The Maikeng case is also Department of Social Development. It is a matter that is under investigation, or what is outstanding on this case is 2 things that we need to do. The analysis of the bank statements and Vodacom records, as well as the application to get additional Vodacom records for. Hello? All right. The docket has been submitted for decision to the DPP. But it has since returned back with queries that we are responding to. The fourth case, also social development. This one is also under investigation, where we just are awaiting bank statement from Capitec. On this one, the Muledi Care Center had received funding and the grant was misused. The amount was 121,000. The fifth case is still the same department. It's a case that is also under investigation. We've taken already 47 statements in this case. We've got three more statements that is outstanding. Here, the employees of the Northwest Department of Social Development connived with other service providers and solicited money from the said service providers. The amount was 420,000. We are close to finalizing the investigation on this one. Number six will be Department of Local Government. In this case, it is a case that is under investigation. We have obtained, outstanding is the forensic report from the appointed companies from which that we've identified five statements that need to be obtained, but we are not close to the completion of this case because depending on the forensic report that we are going to obtain, we might identify more than the statements that we have indicated on the board. This one relates to the procurement procedure that was not followed regarding the building of RDB houses. And it, the total value, not necessarily the loss, but the total value of the contract that we're looking into was 8 million. Again, it's another local government department one. And this one is also under investigation. We are currently interviewing the service providers where we are going to determine the, after the interview of the service providers, we'll be able to give a clear indication as to how many outstanding statements more that we are going to be doing. This one relates to the 134 million that was transferred by Human Settlement to the Bujanala district irregularly. And we have obtained more than 20 statements. We've obtained a number of bank statements, and we've also received the provincial treasury report. The only aspect now that we are dealing with is the interview of the service providers, and that process we expect it to be finalized by the mid of July next month. And we don't foresee that this case will be still under investigation longer than 3 months. That's the time frame we've given ourselves on it going forward. The number eight is the Department of Local Government and Human Settlement. It speaks to the houses, the alleged houses that were transferred from the Department of Settlement to private individuals unlawfully. Here we've already obtained about 30 statements, and we've taken the docket to DPP last month on the 21st of May, and we might be getting it back with queries, but as far as we're concerned, we were almost completed our investigation, but we'll get further guidance from the NPA if they're satisfied with what we've done on this one. Thank you. Department of Finance. On this one, the Provincial Treasury we just sought an additional section 205 from the FNB bank account. This one relates to the supply chain management represented, who misrepresented the credentials when applying for a post. We expect this one to be finalized by next month. There isn't much outstanding. This one is with the Department of Finance. It relates to an attorney firm that inflated the prices. We've already obtained 30 statements on this matter, and it has been forwarded on the 11th of May. We forwarded it for decision. We thinking we have obtained all relevant statements, but we'll get further guidance from the NPA on this one. This one is the Department of Tourism. It relates to the appointment of two security companies. And there was a discomfort with our honorable members from SCOPA, where the payment for the two companies varied too much, and they wanted us to investigate why, if the specification were the same, was the payment to the different companies vastly different. On this one, we have only one statement now outstanding. We've obtained 12 statements. We've even received the service level agreement for both companies, and we expect before the end of this month that we would have forwarded this one to the Director of Public Prosecution for decision. This case is the one from the Department of Rural Economy and Agricultural Development. It relates to Agri Delight. What has happened since our last engagement is that we have agreed that we are going to investigate this case in different legs. So we have identified different legs that we will try and finalize. Currently, we have two legs that we believe we are going to be able to forward to the Director of Public Prosecution for decision or possible guidance on them, because our view is that those two legs, if not ready now, they should be ready shortly. Thank you. This one talks to the Office of the Premier. This case relates to the IT equipment that was done by this service provider. This case also has quite a number of legs initially that we thought of, but we've agreed that we will do it as one, not as legs. And we've got 9 statements now that are outstanding. And we expect this case that we'll be taking it to for decision. We would have obtained these 9 outstanding statements, and we think by the 14th of next month, it will be ready for decision. This one, Honorable Chair, is a court case. It's against the former HOD of Health, as well as the former MEC. It is currently on the court roll. The case is remanded for the 10th of the 8th month. So this one is in court, is the part head matter. It will be proceeding on trial on that day. This one is also Department of Health. It talks to the service provider of Mediosa. Also, this case is on the court roll, and on the 26th of July, it will be appearing at the High Court, and it will be for trial. This one is a case by the employees of the Department of Health who defrauded the department by creating and capturing orders for payment for the service to the service provider for the service that was not actually rendered, and they shed the money. And these accused that are listed on the presentation are the ones that have been arrested and are appearing for trial on the 7th of July. They will be proceeding on, the trial will be on the 7th. Thank you. This matter is under investigation with the Department of Health. It relates to the appointment of a service provider to render services of transporting patients. It's an ambulance services. Statements have been obtained. What is outstanding here is that the invoices to be audited, because the service provider, we've got to separate those services that were legitimate, the invoices that are for legitimate, for service that has been rendered, against those that we allege to be false. Those that we allege to be false will be those that will have no record of a patient ever appearing in the hospital where it would have been alleged to would have been transported to. So it is the auditing of the invoices. And once the invoices have been audited, and we are able to separate those that are legitimate from those that are not, we will then determine the number of affidavits that we still need to obtain. This one also is the Department of Health. It is alleged that the Department of Health appointed service providers for the upgrading of Brett's hospital unlawfully. The docket was submitted to the DPP in February for decision. Consultation with the DPP was held on the 10th. There were a few other things that needed to be done on this one, but on completion of those, we refer the docket back to the DPP. The next one is the matter that is under investigation. It relates to the Department of Health appointed a service provider to upgrade the service of medical equipment at Freyberg and Brett's Hospital. This one, we have obtained about 28 statements already. There is one statement that is outstanding and one forensic and the one from forensic report. This docket has already been submitted for decision, and the docket came back to us in March with the DPP requesting further investigation that needed to be done. So this one, we also don't foresee that it will not be finalized before the end of July, because the only thing that might delay us might be the forensic report, but the statement would be obtained and it would be ready to go back for decision again. This docket is Department of Education. It is alleged as an internal investigator that the suspects, namely a school principal and his admin assistant from this school, stole money from the school by using the school's check for their own personal gain. It's a 1.2 million that was stolen, and the docket, the investigation was finalized, and we forwarded this matter to the DPP in May. This one is also a Department of Education and Sports. This one, we've already, we've identified 9 witnesses that we need to obtain a statement from. The forensic report, the final one, we received it already. And it relates to the process that was flawed in appointing a service provider. We also don't foresee that this one will take long now. We have given ourselves until end of July to have obtained all the outstanding 9 statements and then to see if we cannot submit it for decision of the NPA. This one is also a Department of Education. The statements, the forensic report here, we've also received it. We've identified only 5 more outstanding statements. It talks to the procurement process that was flawed, and we've identified 5 statements. We don't foresee also that this one will take us long. This one is still at an inquiry stage. An inquiry is when we're still trying to investigate to establish if we have enough that can constitute a prima facie case for us to open a case. We have obtained 3 statements. We've got the forensic report. There are 9 statements that we want to obtain and 4 bank statements. This one talks to a tender process that was flawed in the appointment of service providers as well. This one is also an inquiry. When it is still at an inquiry, most of those cases would not have been with the DPP as yet, because at that stage, it's an early stage where we're trying to see if we can sustain a charge. Here, it talks to the flawed appointment of the service providers. We have few statements. I think we had 5 statements to obtain. And then this one is where we've got 8 statements to obtain, also Department of Education. And it's also an inquiry, and it goes around the flawed process that was used in the appointment of the service provider. This one, we have already obtained 6 statements, 16, and a final report, forensic report, was also received. We've identified only 3 statements that we think are outstanding. And we think this one will be finalizing soon. It relates to the appointment as well of service providers, where we believe that the process was not followed because no quotation was obtained from other companies, and the service provider was paid for the services that we are of the view that was not rendered. We are of the view that this payment was made, but the service was not rendered. This one is the Department of Transport and Community Safety. It talks to the process that was not followed during the appointment of Scholar Transport. There are 2 Scholar Transports. This is the first one. And we have completed this one, the investigation on this one. We submitted it to the DPP in November last year. There have been 2 instructions that we've been instructed to comply with, and we have complied with those, and we have forwarded it back to them. This is a matter that is still under investigation. It talks to the airports, two airports, one in Mahikeng and one in Pilansberg, And it talks to how we allege that the process was not correctly followed, and we believe that we would be finalized with this matter. We have identified only six witnesses, and the warning statements that we've indicated there are those individuals that we've identified, and according to ourselves at least, as people who have to give an explanation, because we are of the view that they have something to answer for. So we've identified nine of those that were in the process of obtaining warning statements. We've got six other additional statements. The analysis of cash flow is nearing finalization. I do not see that this case will not be finished by the end of next month, at least in terms of what is outstanding for us to be able to submit it for decision. We are seeing the end of July as the time frame that by which we would have obtained the nine warning statements, the six statements that are outstanding, and if not completed, the analysis, it will be almost completed, the cash flow analysis, by the end of the month. It will determine from there how far extra time we're going to be needing. It is our view that this one will be finalized shortly. This one is also the Department of Transport and Community Service. It is, I spoke of that we've got two scholar transport. This is the newer scholar transport that we are working on. This one we've already obtained 30 statements. The forensic report has been received. We've got 11 statements that are still outstanding, and we also need to do some analysis. This analysis will relate, among other things, except for the bank records, the distance, because in some instances we will argue that the service provider claims for far too many kilometers than would be the distance would require. So yeah, it's an analysis of the invoices, where if we get an example of a claim of 80 kilometers, then we will need to evaluate if it is indeed so, from the school to the village where the kids have to go to, would it make such a distance? That is what we are busy with on this one. This one we're not close to finalizing the investigation on. This is the Department of Public Works, and it talks to an upfront payment of a 3 million rand for the renovation of the Mabato Stadium, and we are alleging that those services were never rendered. The docket was submitted to the DPP on 2011-24 for decision. We've consulted on the 7th and 8th of June, and whatever else that we'll get from the DPP giving us further instruction, we think we'll comply with, and we can't see this one taking long as well, because it would be one or two items that the DPP might be interested in, and we don't foresee this one taking long as well. This one is the public works. It talks to the collusion colluded to award a tender without following the prescribed tender procedure in the different a district, and this one we have submitted already for decision and it came back. So this one came back last week and it has few queries that we've received from the DPP that we are going to finalize and send it back. So also we don't foresee that this one will take long. We received it back from the DPP last week. This matter is public works again, it's under investigation. This one, the department, the administrator of the Department of Public Works, that the services that provide the misled that department into believing that he is qualified to provide engineering services. Whereas the further investigation indicated that he was not. Here we've got 6 statements that we've obtained. We've got a National Treasury report that we've already received. We've got 8 more statements that we need to take. And then we'll take it for decision with the DPP. This one is not close to finalization yet. So I think though, by the end of next month, we'll be able to determine how much longer before we can consider this one finalized. This one is also Department of Public Works. This one relates to a company called Ayama. It has been declined to prosecute by our DPP, and with the Director of Public Prosecutions there, we agreed that maybe this matter needs to be reviewed because we did not entirely agree with each other whether there is nothing to answer for. But we are waiting. It has been submitted for review. We are waiting for the review decision. We're hoping that it will reverse this one, but if it not, we'll accept it if the review panel is still of the view that we don't have a case on this one. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. That will be my story.
Thank you very much, Honorable General Mboto. Any last word from you, General Lebea, if necessary?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I don't have anything to add. We will just entertain the questions for clarity whenever they come. So we submit. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can I invite Advocate Mutibi to present on behalf of the SIU, the Special Investigating Unit.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me greet the Honorable Committee Members and on you, Honorable Chair. Greet my colleagues from the NPA, from IPIT, and from the DPCI. And also my colleagues who are joining me. Honorable Chair, I'm joined by the head of the provincial office in the Northwest, Mr. Israel Ndou. I'm also joined by the head of the investigations in Northwest, Advocate Ramush Chaba. I'm also joined by our Chief National Investigating Officer, Mr. Lekhet. So, Chair, we have prepared the presentation, taking into account, of course, what we presented before at the committee. I will do the first slide, which essentially introduces the presentation, and my colleague, the provincial head, of Northwest, Mr. Ndo, will proceed and do the rest of the presentation. And I will, if required, just do the closing remarks of our presentation. If you just slide to slide number 2, please. number 3. Right, as a background, we thought we would just indicate to the Honorable Committee that this presentation, of course, as expected, should focus on various, on the progress made by SIU on various cases since the last time we appeared at the Honorable Committee. Now, as I said, for ease of reference, we've made the progress and recorded it in the presentation. You'll see that the font that shows progress is recorded in red, just so that the committee can follow the areas that are specifically for progress. Honorable Chair and honorable members, we have really recorded some progress. You'll see that most of the cases that we're reporting on, particularly the ones that we have presented before that they would be going to the special tribunal, most of those are now issued and they are ongoing at the special tribunal. But Chair, before I just go ahead of Mr. Ndo, I'll allow him to present and specifically show that progress, and then as I indicated, I will come in at the end just to do the closing remarks if I'm given the opportunity. Thank you. Mr. Ndo, over to you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Mutiri. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Also, good afternoon, my colleagues from NPA, PCI and IPIS, and my colleagues from our office. Thank you very much. I will start with the matters that are under Section 100, 1A and B. Those are Department of Transport, Department of Transport and Community Safety, Department of Health, and Department of Public Works and Roads. So as there's a question that deals with whether we receive COVID matters. On COVID matters, we having Department of Social Development, Department of Health, and Department of Education and Sports Development. Next slide, Mr. Lafeto. So this is the matters that we receive since intervention in 2018. So as you will see, there are 44 cases. The first one deals with the motivation for proclamation that we have submitted to Department of Justice. We are still waiting for that to be converted to the proclamation by the president. So this matter, it doesn't fall within the department. It's a municipality called Mahikeng Local Municipality. So as you see, on proclamation signed and issued by the president, and those are the numbers, there are 6. Initially, there were 5 until there was an extension on Department of Public Works and Roads. So matters covered by the current proclamation that are under investigation. Okay. I couldn't see the slide. All right. So on matters covered by the current proclamation are under investigation, there are 3. Matters under investigation by the Hawks, those are 3. matters that have been closed on documents received. After analyzing them, we could not find evidence to support the allegation. There are 29. But I would like to say that on one of the matters, on the 29 matters, we received information from the whistleblower, but I will deal with that matter on the slide below. So matter that have been referred to other agencies are two. And all matters that we are busy with before, they are divided into three departments. That is the community safety, where we deal with initially the proclamation was Department of Public Works and Roads and Transport before the two departments were split. So under that, we are dealing with roads, EPWP, scholar transport. Then under the Department of Public Works and Roads, so we are dealing with project management for the Transport Infrastructure Directorate, rehabilitation of flood damaged roads, infrastructures, and installation of parameter fencing at the Eagle Water Wild Resort. On the Department of Health, we are dealing with patient transport, that is known as Buteles. Then we have one which doesn't fall within the department. It's a state institution. It's NWDC, which deals with Tukiso, Christiana Hotel, and MVET. And lastly, with two municipalities, that is Moretele. One Moretele is Flame IT, and Madibeng is Fleet Contract. Thank you very much, Mr. Alketo. Initially we said that all the referred matters are relating to corruption and awarding of tenders without following a proper procurement process. So, but when we were investigating later, we find out that actually there was an improper application of Regulation 16A6 when we deal with departments, and on the municipal level, the Regulation 32. Thank you. So this slide, initially we said that we have prepared nine matters for prosecution, and the investigation is still ongoing on other matters. On Department of Public Works and Roads, we said there was a referral to NPA that was submitted on that particular date. So we have added others. You can see on red, one referral for freezing of the former HOD is due to be lodged at the Special Tribunal by the 30 June 2021, following his dismissal on 3 June 2021, pending finalization of investigation and institution of civil proceeding against him. A criminal referral for his financial misconduct is due to be referred to NPA by the 30th of June 2021. On the other slide, this is what we said initially, but the matter of Buteles is still at court, but I will deal with it below. Dr. Kala has issued a notice to defend, and parties are still busy exchanging the pleadings. So as you look at the following one, initially we said this matter will be finalized on 30 June. We are still on track. It will be finalized on 30 June. So when you look in the one that is with the Department of Transport, that is scholar transport, initially we said the matter will be finalized in April, but now it will be finalized in 30 June because we have received a forensic report from one of the companies that were tasked to investigate. So it deals with inflation of kilometers and inflation of kilometers. So we are still looking at that. but we'll be finalizing our investigation in 30 June 2021. So Department of Public Works were busy investigating. So on this one, it's when we receive that extension. So the investigation will be finalized on the 30th of September 2021. Next slide, Mr. Cheto. These are the amounts or the contract value, the matters that are currently on special tribunal. There's a slide that explains all of them. I will deal with it later. So, but here we have added that both these matters, they are on opposed roll and civil proceedings are underway. All the municipalities have terminated both contracts respectively through the SIU intervention. Next slide, Mr. Alcheto. We said there are no cases of irregular expenditure referred to the SIU for further investigation. However, SIU will continue to engage with the Auditor General of South Africa to assess the audit outcomes indicating irregular expenditure and determine where to conduct forensic investigation. Thank you very much. The matters that we're investigating prior to intervention, but also while we're investigating, they were all also reported during intervention, because people will come and report the matter. So here we will just investigate, as there's no need to do a motivation for proclamation. So it's scholar transport, extended public works, and those upgrading of roads. So as I said initially, the investigation is anticipated to end on 30 June 2021. So yes, on this, those are the matters that we that are provisionally closed by the unit for lack of evidence to support the allegation. The whistleblower are informed, and should the whistleblower bring evidence supporting the allegation, the allegations will be assessed further and the decision to close the matter will be reviewed. This is on, we received one matter which the whistleblower gave us information. And like we said, we are allegation based. So in terms of our act, we are not allowed to go and look for matters. These matters are reported to us and we must register them and motivate for the proclamation until the president signs. Thank you very much. On this one, as we reported that we are not, initially we didn't only report on departments, we also reported on municipalities that we are investigating. As you see on Moretele, the investigation has been completed, and also at Madibeng. So, but now we are only on the civil side where we are at court. On NWDC, civil proceedings are underway, a special tribunal to review and set aside as invalid the decision by NWDC to award the contract for the rollout of Youth Enterprise Combo to Invest Trust, and that the special tribunal to order that a prepayment of 48,952,000 made to Invest Trust without services having been rendered be paid back to NWDC. Other matters that are due to be lodged at the special tribunal by 30 June 2021, as the investigation is still ongoing, in respect of the irregular purchase of Christiana Hotel and Game Farm, as well as irregular appointment of two pieces of security services by NWDC. Initially, we also said that we investigated a few municipalities in the Northwest, in terms of under proclamation 72 of 2009, the SIU is following up with each municipality to establish whether the SIU recommendation has been implemented. The SIU has also planned to conduct an awareness campaign on gaps that have been identified in respect of procurement irregularities. On this one, we have already identified four municipalities that will start with. One being Moretele will be the first one. We had a meeting with them, so they were happy that we'll be engaging with them. So we are still waiting for a suitable date. Thank you very much. So we added this slide, which deals with progress update on current proclamations. So as you see, here is the Department of Public Roads, the extension. So here, the status investigation is at the preliminary stage. So they highlight civil proceeding for freezing the former HOD pension payout due to be lodged at the special tribunal by the 30th June 2021, following his dismissal on 3rd June 2021. A criminal referral will be referred to the NPA by 3021, as I've alluded in the previous slide. And then on Moretele, local municipality, the investigation has been finalized, as I've alluded. This is the amount that we are claiming back. The matter is on an opposed road. Thank you, Mr. Lekato. Then Madi Beng, still on this one, the investigation is on an advanced stage. The leg that is left is actually the civil part. This is the amount that is at the special tribunal. NWDC investigation is on an advanced stage. Civil process for the recovery of 48 million, as I've alluded, has commenced a special tribunal to review and set aside the decision by NWDC to award a contract for the rollout of youth enterprise combo. And the court is directed to order that a prepayment made to invest that be paid back. Next slide. NWDC is still continuing. Other civil matters that are due to be lodged at special tribunal by 30 June 2021 in respect of irregular purchase of Christiana Hotel and Game Farm, as well as irregular appointment of Tukiso Security Services, contrary to Section 217 of the Constitution and applicable procurement precedents. Then on Department of Health, investigation on advanced stage collection, now I will deal with when I was dealing with 29 matters, we received documents in respect of the coal tender. So collection of coal tender awards are at an advanced stage and may lead to the extension of the current Department of Health proclamation. On this one, we have already met with the whistleblower. Even a day before yesterday, we received some documents which we have compiled and put on the system. So our internal case assessment committee will decide on the matter. But we're hoping that it will be investigated, and as a result, this proclamation will be extended. On the highlights is that the civil process for the recovery of the 30 million has commenced at the special tribunal. And this is the slide that I was talking about, where we have prepared summary of outcomes achieved to date. The number of the NPA referrals are 13, the DC's referrals are 13, systemic recommendation 3, number of civil matters instituted in the special tribunals. Those are the numbers. I will quickly on the one that deals with scholar transport, I will just name the case numbers. We're having Magzola is one, it's NW01-2019, RIMACO NW02-2019, Lemate distribution NW03-2019, MPZ trading is NW04-2019, Blitz Point is NW05-2019, Kenlet NW06-2019, Ekawe Resources NW08-2019, and Tito Suppliers NW09-2019. And on municipalities, we're having the Majibeng One, the company's Berto Bright. The case number is NW010-2019. And on Moretele, the company is Flame IT. The case number is NW11-2019. So those are all the matters. With the value of plus minus 497 million. So we've also signed acknowledgement of debt, which is called AOD, for the amount of 631,000. I think the number is not correct. There's another O which was supposed to be there. So yeah, and on this, payments, if those companies are paying the AODs, the money will go back to the respective departments. Next slide. These are the systemic recommendations that I was talking about. The SIU has made the following systemic recommendation to the Department of Community Safety and Transport Management that there should be strict system of monitoring, evaluation, and reporting of service rendered by service providers, that the policy guidelines on scholar transport tender should be strictly adhered to with strict verification of kilometers and adherence to tender requirements and specification. Next slide. Here the question was whether there are any COVID-19 matters being referred to SIU for investigation. Yes, as already said, on COVID, it's Department of Social Development, Department of Health, and Department of Education and Sport Development. And on municipalities, those are Rato Local Municipality, City of Matlosane Local Municipality, and JB Max Local Municipality. So or whether there are any COVID matters being referred to SIU continuation, you will see these are the outcomes in respect of COVID investigation. We have 18 DC referrals. This is in respect of the officials. You will see City of Matosana Local Municipality. It's one, but there are others that are coming. They are in an advanced stage. The number is going to change. And JP Max Local Municipality 6, Rato Local Municipality 3, Department of Education 6, Department of Health 1. And on JP Max Local Municipality, we have one executive referral. I think the executive has step aside, as we are told, because of the investigation that are happening to the Hawks and SIU. Then we have the criminal referrals, there are 6. Matosana Local Municipality, it's 1. We will be referring others on Matosane. Then JB Max Local Municipality 2. Rato Local Municipality 1, Department of Education 1, and Department of Health 1. Then we have SARS referrals. Here is where the service provider charged VET while they were not VET vendor registered. Department of Health, we having 10 referrals. Department of Education, we having 1. Then there were acknowledgement of debt that were signed. In the total number is 8. On the total amount is 1.1 million. Department of Health 7, and Department of Education 1. whether there are any COVID matters that is still continuing. Matters at the state attorneys to be lodged at special tribunals are 14. These matters are relating to COVID only. So they are, I think they are still with the Office of the State Attorney. So when we receive the court date, we will update. So it's the total number is 5,698,099.80. I think that 23 is an error. So Department of Health is 5, Department of Education 1, JB Max Local Municipality 8. Next slide, Ms. Belafeto. Okay, this outcome relates to emergency personal protective equipment, PPEs, tender irregularities, and inflation of price that exceeded the issued national treasury's prescribed rates. Disciplinary referrals were made for officials who were found to have been involved in irregular appointments of services, service providers. Criminal referrals relate to financial misconduct in respect of senior officials of the state institution investigated. The executive referral relate to an irregular award of a donation to an NGO, and the SAS referrals relating to service providers who were found not to have been tax compliant. Some service providers signed AODs in respect of inflated price on PPE. While we are still on this, what we are doing, following up with these referrals that we did, as I'm with Advocate Ramushaba, we had a meeting when we've been with other state agencies where our first meeting, we had a meeting, I was part of it with General Mboto at our offices. So, but after then we have assigned that task to Advocate Ramushaba. So he's making sure that he's following up with especially the criminal referrals. On the other side, I'm still following up with the DC referrals, although they are coming slowly, but people are being disciplined. Some of them, they are scheduled for the last of the week of June 2021. This is the slide that deals with law enforcement agencies. At the provincial level, we are in constant communication and collaboration with other law enforcement agencies, such as National Prosecuting Authority, Public Protector, and Directorate for Priority Crimes Investigation. Collaboration is aimed at, amongst others, to avoid duplication of investigation. Matters referred by SIU are attended to speedily and sharing of information to assist in the investigation. If there's anything that you want clarity, Chair, on this one, Advocate Mamukete will be able to share that information. On specific risk and all issues, these are the risks that we initially recorded, but there's another one that we have added, I think is the last one. Initially, we were saying they are tampering and destruction of evidence. So we consider search and seizure powers, which we did, for example, at Matosane, closure of office because of COVID-19 positive cases. We request documents or interviews to be held at SIU offices. Sometimes we'll even send a question to a witness. Then he will email those questions back. Demonstrations at the state institution here. Request, if possible, to interview witness at the place away from where the demonstration is. The issue of resources, the process of capacitating the provincial office is underway in an advanced stage. Then we have added a threat to SIU investigators. This one, it's coming now. We are experiencing it because now we are out there and everyone knows about the SIU. So. But we do have constant meetings with crime intelligence, so they will just help us with spotting those areas that are dangerous and if possible, so that we can be accompanied when we do our investigations. Next slide. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate in TV.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the opportunity. Just one or a few remarks. My colleague on the risk side, Chair, we really take it, the safety of our investigators, we take it very serious. And whenever there's a threat, as my colleague indicates there, the crime intelligence assists in just ensuring that a threat assessment is carried out and on time, and we then make sure that we put in place the measures to ensure that our investigators are safe. on slide number 23, on slide 23, Chair, there's a number, and probably just an apology to the Honorable Committee on the errors relating to the figures. But my colleague kept on indicating to the committee, for example, on slide 23, it's 5.698099/.80. We really apologize for that. We'll avoid that in future. Slide number 22. The Honorable Committee indicated, and rightfully so, that you know the committee would like to have sight of the COVID-19 matters, because this is, amongst others, just an indication of the extent of the maladministration and the corruption that's going on. So we outlined these outcomes, but Chair, at the future meeting or any time after today, we can actually indicate to the committee. We can submit an additional info that really shows the level of these officials and probably just indicate, as we follow up with the state institutions, the departments, on where they are with all these disciplinary referrals. The next part is, of course, the criminal referrals, and our colleagues at NPA do provide the committee with updates. And then of course the civil litigation matters. Honorable, looks like there's a cross line, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, you would have seen that most of the matters that we reported previously, that they were to be scheduled at the special tribunal, they are now all scheduled at the special tribunal, with the exception of the ones mentioned in slide number 23, and those will still be scheduled. And Chair, I wonder if I'm still audible, Chair. Can you?
Just wait a bit. Honorable Paridutoy, it is you.
Honorable Chair, I'm muted. I was muted, Chair. I saw that he largely Ben. His mic was not muted.
No, it was yours. I've seen it. It's okay. Just ensure that it is muted so that we don't get interrupted.
With the greatest respect, there were children in the background. There's no children here by me. I'm in the office. But let's proceed, please.
Yeah, but when I'm checking this, I see yours, but I'm sorry. But I was referring to you because I see yours was unmuted. Sorry for that, but it's fine. Honorable Dutoy, sorry. Advocate Mutibi, can you proceed?
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was just indicating that all the matters that we have reported on previously, that they would be scheduled and presented at the special tribunal, We've done so now. The report today shows that they are all scheduled a special tribunal. My colleague kept on mentioning the case numbers. And I indicated to him that we needed to have indicated to the Honorable Committee what the case numbers are, just probably as a comprehensive report and confirmation that these matters are now scheduled at the special tribunals. And the ones on this slide, on slide 23, they are the ones that will still be lodged at the special tribunal. So the total value, the total value of the matters will now be this 5.6 million showed on slide 23, added to the 497 million that is shown on slide number 10. So you can see, Chair, that the number is very significant. It will almost be beyond half a billion. Chair, this is money that has to be chased and returned to the state. Yes, this is slide number 10, which shows the total number as of today is 497. And at the next time we appear, we will probably have lost the other ones that are 5.6. Excuse me, Chair. I just want to make the, yeah, on slide number 20. Mr. Lakhato, thank you. Just to clarify that the systemic recommendations that we do, excuse me, my colleague kept on saying, at the municipalities at Madibeng and Muratnila, we are going to do, you know, an awareness. This is the part that we play as SIU also from a prevention side. There's a section in SIU that once the investigations are done and we have identified what we call as gaps here, but we also identify inefficiencies and the root causes of this maladministration and probably corruption. And then we engage with the state institutions on how to improve what control environment is required so that these matters can be provided as best going forward. My last comment, Honorable Chair, if you allow, on slide number 14, it's probably just a general comment I will make, is that, you know, once the last, under Northwest Development Corporation and probably even under Moretele and local, but just generally in our investigation, the last sentence there, that other matters are due to be lodged at the special tribunal by 30 June in respect of irregular purchase of Christiana and all of that. While we schedule these matters at the special tribunal, and Chair and honorable members, we are really pleased to see how the special tribunal has now really enabled the civil proceedings to be speeded up, just so that we make an impact and hold those who are responsible to account as speedily as possible. But what do we need to do now? Having done all of these investigations, and we are, you know, referring to NPA and referred to Hawks and so on, we need to, once all of this is done, and probably at the next appearance, we will clearly determine if we use this Northwest Development Corporation as an example, who would have made all those referrals, but we need to determine now who was responsible, who is accountable, so at all levels, including the accounting officer, just so that we are able to now really do consequence management, and of course the criminal part will also come in to ensure that those who are responsible are held to account. Chair, I need to just indicate on slide number 9, and my colleague may really have omitted to state that. Because as we presented in the last presentation of Body Chair, sorry Chair, I've got a throaty situation, but I thought let me just make sure that I cover up on some of those aspects that that needs to be covered. This slide, Chair, the Department of Health above there, we said to be finalized on the 30th of June. The next one, 30th of June, and the other one, because the proclamation has now been extended to cover other areas, 30 September. And we would like to really assure the committee that we will really ensure that we put resources together to ensure that these investigations are completed. As an organization, just generally, we've really been faced by this other investigation that also equally or even more attracted public interest, which is the COVID-19 investigations. And these outcomes on COVID-19 are part of that proclamation that covers the COVID-19 in the country generally. But having prioritized those, we equally need to prioritize other investigations, including these ones. So these ones, as you correctly opened up, Chair, there's a public interest, particularly in the Northwest, to ensure that we complete them on time and those who are responsible are held to account. Now, I need to just draw the Honorable Committee the attention on the first one, Department of Health. If I look at the previous presentation, we had said that we will conclude it in April of 2021. So when we did the project reviews and the teams did the project reviews, Honorable Chair, the team indicated that we need to ensure, so just so that we don't leave any other thing out, the end date would then now be recorded as 30 June. But this is just to ensure that all the matters are closed up appropriately, and then as we prepare the report, we don't really, you know, rush it out, so that we do it appropriately. So is the next one, Department of Community, no, Department of Transport and Community Safety. If I look at the previous report, I think equally there, I think we had said April as well. So the team has also made the review and assured me that by 30 June, you know, the overall investigation will be done, including ensuring that the closeout report is prepared. I covered the last one at the end there, amongst others. In fact, the main contributor there was that the proclamation is now being extended to cover other investigation areas. Chair, I thought it appropriate that we do it and be upfront with the Honorable Committee, just so that the committee is appropriately informed. Thank you very much. I appreciate that opportunity.
All right, thank you very much, Admit Mutimi, for that. The last presentation will from the National Prosecuting Authority, the NPA. I'm certain that this presentation will also cover the area of asset forfeiture unit. Over to you, Advocate. Guide us in terms of how we must proceed. NPA.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. Thank you, members of the committee, also for the opportunity, and greetings to all the colleagues on the platform. So to confirm again, because earlier I think the line was quite bad, we note an apology on behalf of the NDPP, and myself, Advocate de Kock, the head of the prosecutions in the MPA, and Advocate Omar Abaji Resetaba, the head of the Asset Forfeiture Unit, is leading the MPA delegation. Just to confirm the MPA members who are present, firstly is Advocate Rachel Makari, the Acting DPP of the Northwest Province. We've got in her office the Deputy Director of Public Prosecutions, Advocate Wessel van Billion. He is the current Acting Head of the SECU in the Northwest Province and takes responsibility directly to work with General Mobutu of the Hawks in the Northwest, and of course with the other colleagues of the SIU who are working in the division. We also have with Advocate Rabaji, Advocate Priya Beseswa, who is the Special Director responsible for the asset forfeiture, and then Advocate Peter Besaidenhout, who is the Senior State Advocate assisting in that particular office. In the SSU National Office, we have Advocate Lebo Boloi, the Special Director responsible for the commercial crimes and corruption matters in the MPA. And then finally, we have Bulewa Makeke, the head of our communications, who is also present with us today, Chair. So, Chair, the way in which we propose we do this, we have submitted the presentation. It does contain the updated information. I'm going to ask, firstly, Advocate Lebo Boloi, the Special Director of the SECU, to take us briefly through those aspects of the presentation, where we will indicate which additional progress has been made in respect of the matters. And then I will hand over to Advocate Omar Abaji to assist with the asset forfeiture part of the presentation, if that suits the committee. And so we are going to go to page 7 of the presentation. I'm not sure if the colleagues can put up the presentation for us. I don't have it with me, so if someone could just assist please put up the presentation for us. So thank you very much. I see the presentation is up. If we can go to slide number 7. And so this is a summary of what we say is the current position from the prosecution's point of view. And I now hand over to Advocate Lebo Boloi to take us through the relevant parts and to explain the slides as we go along. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate de Kock. Good afternoon to you, Chairperson, honorable members, as well as colleagues. This slide number 7 gives us a breakdown of the intervention cases which the SCCU in the Northwest is dealing with. The total number of such cases is 51. We still have 13 cases in court, as was the position in March. We now have 6 case dockets for decision with the NPA and guidance, as opposed to the 13 that we previously had in March. We also now have 17 cases under investigations, as opposed to the 9 that we had in March. We have 15 cases finalized, with 3 provisionally withdrawn and 2 to be enrolled. The total number involved in respect of these matters is still the 2.3 billion, which we reported upon in March. Next slide, please. Chairperson, we still have 11 cases which we are dealing with, which emanated prior to the Section 100 intervention, and 9 cases which emanate from the intervention. These are the cases which relate to the provincial department. Next slide, please. We are now going to start off with the cases the NPA has been dealing with prior to the Northwest intervention. Next slide, please. Chairperson, I will not go through the facts of the cases because the DPCI has already dealt with this, and I will only present on the current status of the cases. Now, the first matter relates to the Department of Social Development. The current status on the matter is that the prosecutor has studied the case docket and has issued directives in this regard. The investigation on the matter is in its final stages, and the docket will be submitted to the prosecutor before the end of June 2021. Next slide, please. The next matter relates to the Department of Local Government and Human Settlements. The current status on the matter is that the prosecutor issued directives for further investigations during November 2020. The case docket on the matter was returned to the prosecutor during May 2021. The prosecutor is currently studying the case docket. Next slide, please. The matter relating to the Department of Local Government and Human Settlements. Chairperson, the current status in the matter is that a case planning meeting between the prosecutor and the investigating officer was held during May 2021. The prosecutor has been informed that representations will be submitted by National Treasury against the decision to decline to prosecute on the first leg. The investigations relating to the second leg are, however, underway. Next slide, please. The matter relating to the Department of Finance. The current status is that the case docket has been studied by the prosecutor. The report by the National Treasury was submitted to the prosecutor during May 2021, and the prosecutor is currently studying such case docket. Next slide, please. The matter relating to the Department of Health. The current status on the matter is that the prosecutor has studied the case docket and the forensic report on the matter. Consultation with witnesses have been arranged for days in June 2021, and thereafter the prosecutor will make a decision on the way forward. Next slide, please. This matter relates to also the Department of Health. The current status, Chairperson, is that the issues regarding the reappointments of the auditor have been addressed. The forensic report on the matter is expected to be submitted to the prosecutor by the 30th of June 2021. Next slide, please. This matter relates to the Department of Education and Sport Development. The current update on the matter is that the investigating officer is still dealing with the directives issued for further investigations. A number of witness statements are still outstanding, and the obtaining thereof will be prioritized. Next slide, please. This matter also relates to the Department of Education and Sport Development. The current status, Chairperson, is that the prosecutor has studied the case docket and is busy preparing directives for further investigations. These directives will be finalized before the end of June 2021. Next slide, please. The Department of Public Works and Roads. The current status on the matter is that the case docket has been studied fully by the prosecutor. The prosecutor has arranged consultations with witnesses during June 2021, and thereafter a decision will be made on the way forward. The next matter relates to the Department of Public Works and Roads. The current status of the matter is that the prosecutor has perused the case docket and the forensic report and has issued the directives for further investigation. Next slide, please. The matter relates to the Department of Local Government and Human Settlements. The current update on the matter is that a case planning meeting has been scheduled for June 2021 for the prosecutor to receive detailed feedback from the investigation team on the progress regarding the outstanding directives. Next slide, please. Chairperson, the same format is being used in respect of cases emanating from the Section 100 intervention. Next slide, please. The first matter in this regard relates to the Department of Social Development. The current status on the matter is that the prosecutor has studied the case docket and issued directives for further investigations. The only investigations outstanding in this matter are bank statements, which the investigating officer is expected to receive during June 2021. Thereafter, the docket will be submitted to the prosecutor for a final decision on the matter. The next matter relates to the Department of Tourism. In this matter, Chairperson, the decision to decline to prosecute was taken during September 2020. The reasons for the decision are that the service was in fact rendered and there is no evidence of any fraud or corruption. The next matter relates to the Department of Rural Economic and Agricultural Development. The current status is that the docket has been perused by the prosecutor and directives for further investigations have been issued. The investigating officer is currently dealing with those directives. Thus, the investigations on the matter are underway. Next slide, please. The next matter relates to the Office of the Premier Chairperson. The current status is that the case docket was studied fully by the prosecutor and directives for further investigations have been issued. The investigating officer is currently dealing with those directives. Thus, the investigations on the matter are underway. The next matter relates to the Department of Health, Chairperson. This is a matter which is currently before court, the State versus Lekalakala and another. The trial on the matter commenced in the High Court and has been remanded until the 10th to the 13th August 2021 for further trial. The next matter also relates to the Department of Health and is also in court. The accused in the matter is Mr. Lekalakala. The matter is before the High Court and is remanded until the 27th of July, 2021. The next matter relates to the Department of Education and Sport Development. Its current status is that the docket has been perused by the prosecutor who has arranged consultations with state witnesses during June 2021. A decision will then be made on the way forward after the consultations with the state witnesses. Next slide, please. The matter relating to the Department of Transport and Community Safety. The current status in the matter is that the docket has been studied fully. Directives have been issued by the prosecutor. The investigating officer is currently dealing with those directives. Thus, investigations are underway. Case planning meetings are regularly held by the prosecutor and the investigating officer. The next matter relates to the Department of Public Works and Roads. This matter, Chairperson, a decision to decline to prosecute was taken. The reasons for the decision are that there's no evidence of corruption or fraud. The available evidence also does not show that the department did not receive value for money. Chairperson, the next slides, which are slides number 31 and 37, relate to issues which the NPA briefed the committee on in March, and the situation therein remains the same to date. I will therefore not go through these slides, Chairperson. And moving through now to slide number 37, Chairperson, I would say that I have come to the end of my presentation and will now hand over to my asset forfeiture colleagues to commence with their presentation. So I think we can go through to slide number 38. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I just wanted to add that over and above the colleagues that I'm with here, Advocate Bezeza and Advocate Bezeda and Holt, I've got the team that's leading the Northwest investigations, Advocate Lloyd Posa, and our Chief Financial Investigator, Mrs. Colleen Brown. Chairperson, our presentation starts on page 39 of the NPA presentation. And I just want to state upfront, Chairperson, that the AFU has had the benefit of studying the report on the committee's engagement with law enforcement agencies dated 4 June 2021. So this update does not repeat any of the previous submissions that we've made. Chairperson, we are giving updates of only what is new cases that we are looking at. We haven't given a lot of details for fear of dissipation of assets, Chairperson, but the presentation is only on new information. And as I've explained, we've looked at what you have recorded as what we have presented to you previously. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Advocate Bessessa, who's head of operations in AFU, who's going to take us through the updated information from AFU side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate Rabaji. Thank you very much. And if we can move to slide 39, please, the next slide. Just as a way of introduction, POCA allows for two types of forfeiture of assets, your Chapter 6, which is civil forfeiture, which looks at forfeiting proceeds of crime by direct proceeds of the offences and instrumentalities. Due to the time lapse of the date when the offences were committed and the current time and us being a few years later, it is very difficult to then track these proceeds of unlawful activity. They have been dissipated. They have gone through various bank accounts, and a lot of it has been spent. As a result of the time period and the very complex investigations that must be conducted, the AFU is now looking at Chapter 5 recoveries. Chapter 5 recoveries are recoveries against all property and does not necessarily have to be linked to the offence itself. So it can be recoveries of properties that have been legitimately obtained, but it's dependent on a criminal prosecution, or may I say a decision to prosecute and subsequent conviction. Next slide, please. The AFU is continuing with investigations into a number of entities and individuals involved in the unlawful activity. A considerable amount of time and expertise has been spent on looking at the flow of funds, analyzing the flow of funds to determine where the funds ended up in this. The AFU investigators are working very closely with the DPCI and the SACT investigators, who are assisting the AFU with obtaining the relevant bank statements and assisting with the profiling and the flow of funds. There is one matter that is 90% complete. When I say 90%, I say that financial investigations are 90% complete. There is a set of bank statements that are outstanding. And once the bank statements are obtained, we then will be able to prove the flow of funds. And in this particular matter, it is a Chapter 6 matter. So it is a civil recovery. And we are also awaiting the finalization of a number of investigations that have been referred by National Treasury and is being investigated by the DCI. As was previously mentioned, there are a significant number of matters that are currently being investigated, and one must bear in mind that these are very complex investigations involving very many tiers of money laundering or funds going through various channels. So it remains very complex investigations. Next slide. In my next slide, I would like to take the committee just through our staff overview in the province. Our staff complement has improved since the last report. We have one senior state advocate and one junior state advocate that was appointed on the 1st of June 2021, who are stationed in our Mabato office and co-locating with or stationed with our DPP in Mabato. Another senior state advocate will commence duty on the 2nd of August. These appointments will then increase our presence and our capacity in the province. But apart from having the appointments in the province, the head office of the AFU is still dealing with a number of complex cases in order to ensure continuity. But we are increasing the capacity in the province, and the position of the regional head of the province has been advertised, interviews were conducted, and the AFU is awaiting appointment of the person. Thank you. And a deviation has been obtained by the Department of Public Service and Administration, and more specific, the minister himself, for the extension of the five contract financial investigators that were appointed to focus solely on the Northwest intervention case. The deviation now allows for the contract to be extended for a further 2 years. This was to ensure continuity of the investigations and operations. Approval has also been obtained to establish an AFU Northwest satellite office in Klerksdorp. We are in the process of creating the positions in order to capacitate the office. Next slide, thank you. As I stated, a number of matters are still being investigated by the DPCI and National Treasury. In that, I mean the criminal investigations to prove the offence. The AFU is conducting your basic asset searches and your flow of fund analysis, and we are awaiting final decisions to prosecute as we intend to pursue Chapter 5 proceedings in these matters. However, it must be noted the complex investigations, the time it takes to finalize complex investigations will impact on the finalization of the recoveries. And the cases currently being investigated is set out in the current slide before you. And this is just a breakdown of the matters that the AFU is focusing on, where the investigations are a relatively advanced stage, and we have identified forfeiture potential in the matters as stated in the slide. So in conclusion, we are considering asset forfeiture in 7 Northwest SCCU matters. Thank you, Chair. That brings me to the end of my presentation.
All right, thank you very much. Last word from the leader of the delegation.
Thank you very much, Chair. So that is our consolidated progress report, Chair. I think that from our side, we want to reconfirm our commitment to work with the investigative authorities. We will strengthen our ability to speedily deal with the matters, both in terms of giving direction or further directives in relation to the outstanding investigation, and then being able to make decisions in relation to prosecute or not prosecute. So we reconfirm our commitment in that regard, Chairperson and members of the committee. And of course, in relation to the SIU matters that were referred to, and the Chair will recall there were matters referred in June for prosecution, just again to remind the committee that in terms of the legislation of the SIU, they refer to the prosecution, but the prosecution refers to the DPCI for investigation. So those matters are not necessarily ready for a decision to prosecute. It still needs to have the formal criminal investigation done, and thereafter only will the prosecution make a decision. So subject to those further comments, Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, thank you very much. Your presentations took almost 2 hours. Very, very good, detailed presentations. We have an hour or so as members of parliament to engage with your presentations. I want all of those who want to ask questions to raise their hands, honorable members. I'm asking this because I want to know how many, so that we develop the best formula to engage with the presentation. Can you please kindly raise your hands so that I know who wants to ask questions, and thereafter I'll close. Who else? I'm going to close the question sessions. Yes, I'll start with Honorable Karen Fesser, followed by Honorable Sibeku. Over to you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. And I also want to thank our law agency, agencies this afternoon, the NPA, the Hawks, and whatever, for the presentations that they brought to us. I just want to first and foremost say, Advocate Mutibi, on the road they call PWRT 119/12. They keep on saying it's the Morokweng Centre's Dorp Road. I do not know. I think I spoke to farmers there. It's not Venter's Dorp, it's something else. It's nearby there, but it's not Venter's Dorp, because the Venter's Dorp that we usually know is near J.B. Marks, Potchefstroom. Then I want to ask about the investigations done. I do not see anything of Sarkba, which was very much in the news about the wild animals that disappeared from game reserves. Also, Agri Parks, what was happening there? Was there any investigations done there? And then there was, in 2014, the Parks and Tourism Board, of which the assets registered disappeared, including rhinos and exotic kinds of wild animals. If they can give us any details on that. Thank you, Chair.
Good evening, Chair. Thank you very much, and good evening to all the presenters, especially our law enforcement agencies. Chair, mine is basically just to appreciate the work that has been done by our law enforcement agencies in terms of the progress that they have made. And mine is also just to ask a few questions of clarity in some of the, based on the presentation that we have received today. Chair, firstly, I would go to the SIU presentation and ask, I see a lot of references made that there are some cases that has been referred for disciplinary, you know, hearings, and it's ongoing, and especially at municipal level. And I would just want to get some clarity in that regard, and how often do they actually engage with these municipalities to see whether there is progress made, and when are they going to give us an in-depth report pertaining to such matters. Also taking into consideration, Chair, that we will be debating this particular intervention on the 23rd. There's a possibility that it might close doors, and then we won't have this platform, you know, to engage with the law enforcement agencies. That is why I'm asking these questions. Should they say the intervention is lifted, and there's still questions, you know, that are pending in terms of cases that have been referred for disciplinary hearing, which avenue or what avenue are you going to utilize, you know, to make sure that, you know, these cases that have been referred for disciplinary hearings, that we actually, you know, get the names and we get the level of officials involved and see, you know, where it ends. You know, Chair, that is just one question of clarity. Also, the second one, Chair, is based on the proclamation of the one R72 of 2009. I would also love to appreciate that we can just get more information in that regard, because it was also mentioned in the presentation that they are also doing follow-ups, and I will, in terms of the recommendation that were given to those particular municipalities. One would also would like to know, you know, how much progress has been made, and those that are involved, you know, are actually brought to book. Because, Chair, you know, in this in local government, people jump ship before they are prosecuted. And that is something of concern in the country that we need to deal with, so that people don't just commit crimes and then they run away, and then we find them in the Eastern Cape in another municipality. That is something of concern. And the last one, Chair, it's to the NPA. While ones appreciate the effort in terms of the investigations and everything, and I'm a little bit worried when some of the updates that we get, they say the prosecutor is studying the report. So, and then a question that I ask myself, can the presenter just give us the different scenarios, you know, pertaining when a prosecutor studies a report? Why it could be a recommendation? What could, you know, what could be the possible scenarios pertaining to this particular case? You know, so that members of the committee have an idea of currently what is actually happening. Because some of the cases that we are dealing with, Chair, the whole country is looking at us and the whole country wants to see what this particular committee is going to do and whether people that have been committing crime in this country and people that have been alleged to have eaten, you know, from the poorest of the poor, you know, are brought to book. But when we do investigations and it goes for prosecuting and it's been studied, and one would always want to know, you know, is this case going to go further, or is this case just going to say, no, there is no potential for any prosecuting of conviction in these particular cases? I would just love those different scenarios from the NPA, Chair. Thank you very much. And thank you very much to the kind of work that our law enforcement agencies are currently doing in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Gillian.
Chairperson, thank you. Allow me to appreciate the presentation that was done this afternoon. Let me also say, Chairperson, it is very good to see that there is progress being made from the agencies, and that we as a committee can honestly say, since we start with this Section 100, today was a presentation that can really show progress. I am also very pleased, Chair, to see the progress in the report, specifically on the COVID-19 investigation. I would just like to see the follow-up specifically on the COVID-19 and what the end results will be. But let's appreciate the hard work and also wish the agencies well in the work that they still need to do. And hope, Chairperson, this is really, I'm really hoping for this, that out of this presentation, we will really see people who will bear the consequences of their bad deeds. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gillian, for that as well. Who else wants to be on the platform? Honorable Vitoy, are you okay?
I'm covered. Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're covered. Okay, thank you very much. I saw your hand earlier on and I wanted to just check. Yes, I think... as you will note, the presentations are well appreciated by honorable members in terms of registering progress in the work of the different law enforcement agencies. Be that as it may, I have some few concerns. Firstly, picked up from the SIU, that there are only three cases which they jointly attend to together with the Hawks. I don't know which cases specifically are those, but I picked up about six of those cases. I don't know what is happening here. Can the both agencies explain this? Because I picked up a case on Ilima Joint Venture, that is the upgrading of the Breast Hospital, in the two presentations this was presented. The second one is Mibiosa, that involves the 30 million rand prepayment. The other one is the NEPO IT or whatever that is dynamic in the office of the Premier of the Northwest. The other one is Agri-Vilay, that is the fourth one, in the Department of Agriculture. The fifth one is Buthelezi, the ambulance service. And the two presentations were speaking to those cases. And lastly, it is the scholar transport. I don't know which exactly are you referring to when you say it's only three cases. What about the others? What is it that you do to work together in terms of that? Because the last thing that we must avoid is duplication and overlapping of functions and activities of the two agencies. It's important that the agencies work together, they cooperate, they collaborate, and at the end of the day, we must see the results. That's the first point. The second point relates to the fact that when we were in the Northwest, we were informed by the SCOPA committee, the Public Accounts Committee, about the cases which were referred to these entities. And I don't hear much about those cases specifically which were referred to both entities. And I don't know why are they not talking about those cases. And they include the following: the Rakoma forensic investigation in the Department of Health, the Bakhale consulting where payment was made and the work not done. They include the irregular appointment of the supply chain manager appointed at the level of the chief director. They also include corruption and nepotism in the Klerksdorp Tshepong Hospital complex. And lastly, it is around the material irregularities, advanced payment at the Mabato Nursing College where money was paid and services not rendered, as well as the Joburg Community Health Center, I think so. Those, in addition to what you are dealing with, those are the cases which were brought to our attention in when we were in the Northwest. I just want to check, is it true that you did receive these cases? What is the level of investigation of these cases? And what is it that you have done to collaborate with those that submitted these cases before you? The third point for me relates to the capacity of the law enforcement agencies and the agency attached to the cases. I'm raising this because in some slides that I observed, I took time, a lot of time, to compare what was presented to us between February, March, and today, whether is there any progress registered in real terms? I know that in some slides, it is just like cut and paste, when which data are just shifted. It's the same slide that is before us, but it's presented again, but there is only shifting of the dates in respect of that. And that for me begs the question as to the capacity of the law enforcement agencies. And I really want you to speak to that. I'll tell you why I'm asking this. It's a well-known fact that the Zondo Commission will be done very soon with its work. And in anticipation, there's going to be a lot of cases. And just looking at what is happening at the Zondo Commission, you can see that you are going to be seized with high-profile cases. And this is inevitable based on what is before you. I'll make a typical example. One of the issues pertaining to the Northwest that was sharply raised at the Zondo Commission relates to the South African Express. That is the flights between Mafikeng, Madikwe, as well as Johannesburg. And it is clear from this exposition that you presented today that this is one of the key cases that you are dealing with. And that case was extensively deliberated on and dealt with at the level of the Zondo Commission. This, in my view, just tells me that, and maybe correct me, or maybe differ with me in that respect. Immediately after the commission concludes its work, makes certain recommendations to the president, there's going to be a lot of cases that are going to be dealt with, and most of them high-profile cases. Now, with the pace that you are moving, my question is, will the law enforcement agencies have the capacity, the necessary capacity to deal with all these cases that are going to be before them? And why don't you expedite the cases that you have in anticipation that if the case is filed, you should be able to deal with those cases accordingly? Because in my view, I get worried because I've realized that there are some cases which date as back as 2013, 2012, like the pilot one, the Mafikeng one, there is a 2017 one, and some of these are old cases which must be expedited of sufficient progress as have been registered up to date in terms of those cases and how far we. But linked to this particular point, and I'm just making this example. If there is an allegation of about half a billion that was stolen in one entity of the state, and those who are charged and accused are high-profile people, and because of the monies that are involved, they hire some of the best lawyers in the country. They hired the best lawyers in the country. Do we have prosecutors? And this goes to the MPA. Would we have the prosecutors who will match or equal the caliber of the lawyers who are going to be assigned for this? Because with the tempo and the pace of cases that are taking place in the Northwest, personally, I'm worried, and I want you to clear me and allay my fears that you are capable, you are ready, and the kind of people who are going to preside to prosecute these cases are up to the challenge, are ready, and they are sufficiently trained and capacitated to can handle the caliber of lawyers that are going to be appointed or appointed by people who are accused for having stolen a lot of money. For me, this is one issue that is worrisome. My last point is that, and this is not only in the case of the Northwest, it is generally the case. people who are your whistleblowers, they don't communicate with you alone. They send some political parties, I've seen that, through other political parties and even members of parliament, they have spoken to some of them. Some of them have got more information, more details, which were also forwarded to them by some of these whistleblowers and say, this is what we presented to the law enforcement, to the law enforcement agents. Now, my point is, how do you deal with some of the breaches that inhibit your work to ensure that at the end of the day, you have successful prosecutions? And in case that you delay in facilitating some of these processes, what are the other avenues at play that can be followed and be exhausted to ensure that what is wrong is corrected? I'll pause there. I want to note that this committee, with all the information that you place before it, it is surely going to develop an approach on how in future we must deal with this particular aspect to ensure that indeed sufficient progress gets registered in terms of the cases that are dealt with by the law enforcement agencies. And I cannot underscore this point more. Personally sitting here is for the first, I'm listening to all these cases that were raised, and even those that I just mentioned, we didn't cover yet. And we have not yet even touched a bit the situation at municipal level in the Northwest. And we know that Northwest is one of the worst in terms of that. And we have not passed cases at the municipal level. These cases at the provincial level, it's like hailstones. It's intense, it's heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. It is shocking. I don't even know whether is there any other province that is dealing with the volume and the magnitude of the cases that you just presented to us. For me, this is it's like a horror movie. It's like it's unbelievable. It's like, are these things really happening at this time, after the advent of our new democratic order, that people steal, they pillage, they loot, they plunder the resources of the state in the way that they do, and expectantly that there would be concomitant action taken against those who are involved. This is really, really shocking. It is concerning that we had to deteriorate to the levels in which we are. But as I'm saying, we need clear-cut, concomitant investigation and successful prosecution so that the people of that province, as their government collapsed, as their government was placed under administration, there ought to be consequences and satisfaction that indeed those who plunder, who are responsible for this, were held to account and they were dealt with accordingly in terms of the law. For me, that is quite important, and the onus is on you to save this country, to deal with this particular matter in a way that inspires confidence, in a way that demonstrates in a very unflinching way that where there are acts of corruption and criminality, those who are responsible for that would face the music and they will be dealt with, and that the people will get what is due to them. For me, it is quite important linking with the work that you do as law enforcement agencies to say this is where you are, and as members of parliament acknowledge progress registered, but I think in my honest view, I think we need to deal with those issues as raised so that we are comfortable and satisfied that indeed something very, very tangible is coming out of this particular process. Those are the remarks and some of the questions that I also asked. Let's get the responses and comments from you. Starting with the Hawks, please. General Lebea, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. The question that has been directed to the HOPS comes from the Chairperson, and then the rest of the committee members, we have taken note of the observation and the comments that has been made in respect of the DPCI. I will also allow my colleague, Major General Mboto, to deal with the questions of that has been raised regarding the other investigation that may have been made known from SCOPA in the province. I will request that he respond on those. I wanna deal with the issue of capacity as raised by the Honorable Chairperson. With regard to capacity, we know that the capacity at this stage is something that needs to be enhanced, and not with regard to the skills. The skills are there. It's just that the number of human resource that we need to cope with the volume of the work. The Chairperson has correctly observed that we can expect a number of cases that will come when the Zondo Commission finalizes its inquiry. In that regard, we are building the capacity. We have indicated at this stage that we have got less than 2,000 investigators, 1,700 and a couple numbers that are handling 20,000 cases. As you shall have observed in this one, we are talking of 69 matters that we have been dealing with today. But this 69 forms part of the 20,000 that we are dealing with where more than 16,000 accused persons are sitting in court. In these ones, we were dealing with 15 of the accused. So to ensure that we are capacitating the investigators, we are currently selecting people who have applied for 274 posts. And then when we finish this, we will be looking at 197. So we are continuously capacitating. And we have also got 103 that have started in April on a 3-year contract. So appreciating that the capacity is something that we really need to build on. We are working on that. We have also already interviewed chartered accountants that have applied to join us to take the position of a forensic audit investigation. And we have identified one of those that have applied. We are now in the process of waiting for our intelligence structures to finalize the assessment so that the person can have top secret security clearance. And then if that person succeeds, we will also be appointing to ensure that they assist in that space. So Chairperson, I will allow then the Major General Mboto to address the issue of the other cases that may have been raised, which appear to be not featuring in the list. Thank you, Chairperson. And honorable members.
Thank you very much, General Lebea. General Mboto.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The case that I referred to, the one where I spoke to of the Bujanala, the Department of Local Government and Human Settlement, where I said 134 million was transferred to Bujanala, is one of the cases that was reported to me by the honorable members of SCOPA. I've also got other cases which has not been part of my presentation, Honorable Chair, because they will speak to municipalities such as Rheinecke and many other areas. So, and the presentation that we compiled did not include municipalities, it was only the department. Thank you, Chair.
On the issue of cases that you jointly handled with the FIU, can you speak to that, please?
Thank you again, Chair. I almost left that one out. We have quite a number of cases, the one that you have mentioned, but in cases where my counterparts do not have a proclamation on, that is where you might see a discrepancy. And in those cases, in relation to assets, I will be handling them with my counterpart from the AFU on those cases. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you very much. SIU?
Why is this thing facing that way? It's here. It's only this one that can see. I think when
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. We appreciate the words from the committee. In terms of just the work that we're doing, and we are really encouraged by that. Of course, we would like to ensure that our work makes the impact that we would require. And that impact can only be made if, for example, the referrals for disciplinary processes supported by evidence are implemented. And to that extent, and I'll come back to that, in terms of the follow-ups that Honorable Sileku asked about. So Honorable Chair, we are really aware and awake to the utmost injunction that we have to assist the committee in monitoring the maladministration and the corruption that really took place and ensuring that there's actions that are taken. So we will ensure from our side to make sure that happens. We're investigating and would like to make sure that the investigations are effective and they are completed on time. But of course, what remains is that all those actions that would have been referred during the investigations, all those actions are implemented. That is the only way that will make impact and ensure that those who are responsible are held to account. I'd like to respond to the question by Honorable Professor. This issue around the accuracy of the information relating to the name of the roads. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Honorable Professor, of course, I'll hear what my colleague has got to say, the provincial head in Northwest. But I really want the committee, and we're not going to wait until the next appearance. We would like to submit just a written response on this, because this is the, I think it came up at the previous meeting as well. And we had thought that our response was accepted. But to the extent that it's coming up again, this is the information that gets supplied to SIU in terms of the details of what needs to be investigated. So to that extent, I would like us really just to submit a written response after we have now. I would urge my colleagues that the accuracy of this road that the Honorable Professor refers to. The issue around some of the allegations relating to SARPAR and wild animals that disappeared, Parks and Tourism Board. I just want my colleague to really just indicate if we received allegations around these whether are they been investigated as part of any of the proclamations or what really became of them. Honorable Seleku, I do of course agree that those referrals, particularly the disciplinary processes that you have asked of, that we need to ensure that are implemented. As part of the SIU strategy that we adopted, we of course at a strategic level determined that previously, you know, SIU did need to just refer these matters and leave it there, move on to the next investigation and so on. But we realized that we are an interested party in these referrals. The process that we've got end-to-end control on is the process relating to civil proceedings. So that one, we identify irregularities. If it relates to a contract, we then take that matter. Of late, we use the special tribunal. We take it from end to the, from the beginning to the end, and ensure that the matter is finalized. But on the other referrals, although we pick up evidence pointing to misconduct, evidence pointing to criminal action, we are enjoined by law to send it to other agencies. Advocate de Kock mentioned that the matters that are referred by SIU to MPA are not necessarily, you know, ready for any decision whether to prosecute or not to prosecute. And we are in engagement with our colleagues at MPA. And with that realization, we said, because we do have an MOU with MPA, we said, let us include, you know, DPCI in the MOU and possibly SAPS, so that while the law says refer to MPA, we can then say, you know, what are the other actions or measures we can put in place so that the other colleagues are brought on board on time. That part will probably still execute. But Honorable Chair, going forward, we'll of course, all of us ensure that we cooperate and ensure that the matters are dealt with timely. So Honorable Seleku, what we'll probably do, well, just to answer to your question, as part of this new strategy now, we do engage where we have referred to. We engage with the areas where we have referred to state institutions. We do require to know whether our recommendations have been implemented or not. And if we find that there's undue delay or failure to implement our implementation, our recommendation, we then have to determine what is the next step. Because you know, unlike the public protector, our recommendations have not been ruled as binding. Of course, the court recently in the Masuku judgment said, you know, our reports that make out the referrals are subject to review. So the extent to which they carry that weight of ensuring that there's an action that could be prejudicial to anybody, the High Court said they are reviewable. But we would like to make sure that even though they're not binding on the state institutions, but they are enjoined by law, it's their responsibility as well to look at it, to look at the evidence, and ensure that they take action to discipline the officials concerned. So to date, we have been following up and we get positive feedback in terms of ensuring that the disciplinary processes are followed. But of course, there is There's a legal measure which we have considered in SIU because we would like to see consequence management being meted out, of course, supported by evidence. If there's a failure to take action, then and this would probably be the very last option, where we would take measures to compel the state institutions to take action one way or another, just so that there's certainty, there's clear consequence management, and the public can see that we are acting on those who are in the wrong here. So as an action, Honorable Tileku, what we could do, and I think I did indicate, we can draw up a report for the Honorable Committee, which we can present in the next few days, not waiting for the next meeting, where we show the officials that have been referred for disciplinary action, their levels, and what is the status as the state institutions who have given us feedback on what they are doing. So, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we undertake that we will do that. And I know that my colleagues in the province, they've got this this information, but we can probably engage further just to get the current status, and we can submit that information to the Honorable Committee. There's a question around the proclamation of 2009. I'm hoping my colleague, Mr. Ndeo, you've made a note of that, and then you can just indicate the update, if any, on that. Honorable Gideon, yes, I think it's really just a repeat in terms of the follow-ups and ensuring that the consequence management, we will definitely ensure that happens. Honorable Chair, relating to the questions that you've posed, and again, appreciating the appreciation that comes from you, Chair, we are encouraged. Of course, we need to just make sure that we produce the results that that you as the Honorable Committee expect. We just have to do what we have to do. Now, the concerns that you've raised, Chair, have been noted. The three cases, and perhaps my colleague can indicate, the three cases that have been referred to DPCI, I think they've been referred there so that DPCI can deal with them. To the extent that there's information that we come across and can hand over to DPCI, we do so, and we collaborate very well. But the accountability and responsibility lies with one agency. So there's no joint accountability or joint responsibility. And as we said in the slide, that shows collaboration. But we do at all costs avoid duplication. Honorable Chair, on the cases that you have mentioned, Ilima, Mediosa, Nepo, Dynamics, AgriDelight, I think, and my colleague can really confirm this, that all of these matters are dealt with by DPCI. My colleague, Mr. Ndou, can you just indicate if we are handling the Buthelezi, the ambulance part, and then the issue around scholar transport. Please give the Honorable Committee a clear status of our investigation on the scholar transport and the outcomes that we have reached to date. Honorable Chair, there's various matters that my colleague referred to, and we have investigated that part. We have found that there's irregularities. Some of the matters are now at the special tribunal. We've made referrals for disciplinary process. With relation to other matters that Honorable Chair, your expectation that we could probably mention them, I know specifically that we had a whistleblower that reported some irregularities in Plexton. And I just checked with our chief national investigator, because he is the one who referred this allegations to our provincial head, and I'm informed that our provincial head is in contact with the whistleblower. And as is the process, we receive the allegations, we receive documentation supporting the allegation, and we then follow the processes either to deal with them under the current proclamations, or if they require a new proclamation, we then take that decision. My colleague can come in if he's aware of the other irregularities about irregular appointment of SCM manager, the Joburton country club or country market chair, but our colleague can in the province can come in if they do have those allegations. With regard to the capacity chair, I think that point is really well made. From our side, we've also identified that there's a need for capacity. I think all of us really at any given time we've made ourselves known that the resourcing of the agencies is very important. And to that extent, in SIU specifically, Chair, we recently just underwent reorganization and restructuring. We are completing the population of the new structure. The bulk recruitment that we underwent, the phase one really focused on internal promotions or internal career progressions. We've identified the needs of the investigating teams across the country. We know we've got the numbers of the second phase of the bulk recruitment. And I think that comes at the right time, Chair, even ahead of the State Capture Commission making the report, with anticipation that they might probably get some matters referred to us. But still, even with the current investigations or the current proclamations that are coming our way, Honorable Chair, we have taken a decision that we need to improve on our resources. And the skills that that we have identified are really the skills that we currently need urgently around cyber forensics. Those ones really assist us in imaging most of the electronic equipment so that we can trace some of the evidence. Forensic accountants, we have started building the capacity there for obvious reasons, Chair, that as part of our investigations, if we are really to ensure and we come across some of this bulk income statements, bulk balance sheet that we need to analyze, if we don't have these resources, particularly the forensic accountants, we're not likely to crack some of this investigation. So, but we are also going to improve capacity around general forensic investigators, forensic lawyers, just to make sure that we are always capacitated to deliver on our investigations. I want to just hand over to my colleague to indicate, particularly on some of those aspects coming from Honorable Fetter around some of those wild animals and the parks and tourism, whether we are the Buthelezi matter, and then the update on the scholar transport. Please, Mr. Ndou, please. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Advocate Mutibi. Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the question by Honorable Cesar, we do not have those matters. We've never registered those matters. But if you know somebody who's having information regarding those matters, through the chair, we can share our details so that they can contact us. Then on a question by Honorable Sineku, the DCs, we do follow up with them. Some of them, what do? We refer them to, like if we are charging the MM, we refer them to the MEC of COXA. So the HOU and Mr. Lakheto had a meeting with the MEC regarding some of the matters. And after that meeting, I did prepare a list, which I have submitted to the former MEC with all those referrals. So I did submit it to him. So he said he will action those referrals. Then on the issue of 2009 report, that's what we are doing now. So the head of unit of the unit has also signed, I think, 4 letters that are going to the municipalities. So we'll be following all the 24 municipalities. As I have stated, we'll be starting with Moretele. Even today, I had a chat with the administration team from Majibeng, because I was saying that there are DCs that were submitted and they are not acting on them. So we agree that I will send them the acknowledgement of receipt so that they can check with the person who received those things. But what I've experienced here in Northwest, most of the time they will, I don't know if it's intentionally so or what, but they will lose these referrals. I've already made 2 copies for 2 municipalities because we do have information. If they lose the information, then we'll give them another one. So I said they must look at it. If it's not there, I will prepare another one. So they must act on it, and they've agreed. And on the issue of Honorable Gillian, on COVID-19 follow-up, so we are following up with especially the referrers. We can, maybe for the committee, we can even prepare a small report where we show those diseases that have already started. I said when I was reporting that on Monday, we were consulting the whole day with the lawyers for JB Max. They are charging MM and CFO through our investigations. So the hearing is set up, I think it's month end or first week of July. So we do follow up, and like, for example, Department of Education, they started yesterday. One of my investigators who is based in Pretoria was here. He was testifying even today. We'll be waiting for judgment on that matter. And there are others that are coming. Then on issues of matters that the Ilima joint venture, we didn't, it's like the one of code. We didn't receive information, but now we were, like advocate said, we had a chat with the whistleblower who gave us some of the supporting documents, and that matter has been sent to our assessment committee. But on Ilima, we've never received anything. An agri delight, there's nothing, and data dynamics, there's nothing. But the Buthelezi one is the one that the patient transport that we are busy with, and Midiosa. And on polar transport, as General Mbota has said, there are 2 contracts in polar transport. The first one, we are done with it. So hence those referrals. And on we are constantly monitoring those referrals. I think 3 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Lakheto will tell me if I'm right or wrong. We received the judgments from our hearings, 2 of them which they were found guilty. They are still busy with others. Now we are focusing on the last contract, which was set aside by the court. So we are looking for recovery on that one. The advocate Ramoshaka is busy with it. And on the matters that were raised by the Honorable Chair, we don't have these matters. I don't know when were they reported or whether they were reported within the period of intervention or before, because there's one that rings a bell, the Bahali. I'm not sure, but I will talk with my predecessor, because I arrived here in 2018 with intervention, so they might have reported it before. So I will just liaise with him and check if he did receive the matter and register it and what happened with it. On some of these ones, I haven't received them, but through chair, if maybe you can provide my details to the whistleblowers, I will be able to meet with them and see that their matters are registered if they fall within Section 2.2 of our Act. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. We're running a bit late. MPA?
So thank you, Chair. Just generally then, I will try to respond generally to firstly the issue of resourcing, and I'll also relate to some of the issues around the PPI matters. And then I'll just get the colleague, Advocate Bill Bullion, to talk about the question that was raised about the reports and what is the approach that we follow when we are actually studying the further reports and the further evidence. And I think we can also ask Advocate Rabaji in the end to just wrap up on behalf of the MPA and the AFU in terms of resourcing and the progress that we're currently making in that regard. So generally, again, as all the colleagues indicated, the MPA would also welcome additional resources, but of course, we are also subject to the budgets that have been made available to the MPA. But just to indicate upfront that just in January this year, the MPA took upon its establishment an additional 430 plus minus new prosecutors into the MPA. These are prosecutors into our program of aspirants, and we believe that this is a very welcome step for the prosecution, because one, we are creating job opportunities for graduates of universities who previously were unemployed, and two, we are training young blood into the prosecution. Then the second part of our strategy regarding resourcing is to look at additional contract appointments. And here we look at the senior levels of prosecution. And so this is where we are busy with in the SECUs. So in the SECUs, we have created and got a deviation from Treasury to appoint contract appointments for a period of 3 years. And that deviation allows us additional appointments of 50 prosecutors. Currently, we have almost 30 contracts across the country. And then in relation to the Northwest, I refer the committee to page 5 of our presentation that sets out the establishment of the Northwest. And you will see that since March 2020, there were only three prosecutors in the Northwest dealing with the work. And of course, that was completely unacceptable to us. And that since then, we've made substantial progress by appointing 4 permanent advocates and 5 contract advocates. And the plans are still to create an additional 7 permanent posts in the Northwest. The DPP of the Northwest can indicate also to the committee regarding the question of resourcing. But so our approach is that the prosecutors in the commercial component are seized with all the priority cases, and then the DPP manages the rest of the commercial work with all the other prosecutors that we have in the Northwest, particularly in our regional courts. So that's in relation to additional capacity for the Northwest. But then over and above that, just in April of this year, with the collaboration of the Department of Justice, we've created a specialized commercial crimes court in the Northwest. So the idea is that as we push to get these cases investigated as quickly as possible and decisions made, we created a court that is focused purely on commercial crime and corruption. So this, we believe, within the next few months, we're going to see the fruits of this approach, and that these cases are then being placed onto these court rolls, this new court roll that is able to deal with these matters. So that's just generally, Chairperson. I would like to hand over then, just on the PPI matters. Currently, according to the most recent information we've received from the Fusion Center, that is at June of this year, we have 21 of these cases on our court rolls across the country, and there are 49 accused who are currently appearing in courts. And so we are still strongly focusing as well to ensure that all of these matters are receiving appropriate attention by the prosecution throughout the country. Chairperson, can I ask Advocate Bill Bullion to please come in now on the question of the referral of the dockets back to the prosecution, the report? And I would just like the DPP to comment if there's any additional comments on the resourcing. And then I think Advocate Rabaji can also come in. Lastly, on the question of the Zondo Commission, the MPA is also ramping up our capacitation of the IED. And the IED is the investigating directorate, is working very closely with the Zondo Commission and sharing information. So just also to confirm that that work is happening and that there's lots of collaboration with the DPCI, with the AFU, and with the other law enforcement agencies, so that we have a coordinated approach in terms of how that work is going to be dealt with as it comes to law enforcement agencies. So thank you. Can I then hand over to Advocate Paul Bullion? Thank you.
Thank you, Advocate de Kok. Evening, Chairperson and committee members. On the question regarding the reports and the studying thereof and the consequences or the outcomes thereof, one must remember that we are dealing with forensic audit reports. These are all commercial cases. These are large, involved, complex matters. So the dockets in itself, as well as the reports, are comprehensive and takes time to study. As you will see from our presentation, we have different reports in different stages, either reports being awaited or reports received and being studied, or reports already being which have already been studied and they were directives or decisions taken therefrom. So in some of the slides on the presentation, you will see that previously we were assisting with those instances where the appointment of an auditor was an issue, and those issues have been successfully addressed through stakeholder engagement. In other cases, on the previous presentation, you will see we were awaiting reports or still studying it, and by now we have dealt with those reports and taken further action, for instance, arranging consultation with witnesses as a final step before making a decision. The outcome of studying the report and the docket is obviously either issuing directives for further investigation or making a decision on prosecution, either to prosecute or not. In that regard, as indicated in our presentation, the SEC unit DPCI follows a project management approach. We try and be involved in the matter as soon as possible, so that by the time the investigation reaches its end, we are able to make a decision and from a very early stage on identify possible obstacles or problems so that we don't have a situation where years go by for a forensic report being compiled and it's only then submitted to us and we then realize some or other aspects are not covered in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Could I ask Advocate Rachel McCurry to please also contribute to the question of the resourcing?
Thank you, Advocate de Kock, and thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I want to repeat what Advocate de Kock has already alluded in terms of the appointments done so far, but I would just like to add on the question of the creation of 7 more advocate posts, which is under consideration. We are doing that because the ideal situation under the circumstances is to have at least 2 advocates per case, because these are cases where you find that one docket comprises of few crates and there are so many documents to be gone through. So that would basically be the ideal situation, and we are moving towards that direction. Noting the concern by the chairperson about the training or empowering of those advocates who are dealing with these serious cases, one must admit that advocates, some are more experienced than others, so they are receiving support in a sense that they hold monthly meetings amongst themselves to bring about the challenges that they are experiencing so that the other advocates who are much more experienced can also make a contribution, which comes to a fact that it becomes a collective kind of a situation, a team effort. So those are some of the things that are happening within the unit. And on the other hand, our head office, being aware of the challenges that we are experiencing as far as capacity is concerned, they are readily prepared to assist us whenever we approach them with a particular challenge. They are always ready to assist us. And I believe in the near future, all that has been happening with these advocates who I believe they are putting a lot of effort, working very hard, we'll start to see the fruits of the commitment of these advocates. I think that's all that I can contribute, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Makari. So, Chairperson, with your permission, and if we can ask Advocate to talk about the AFU and the investigators as well. Thank you.
Yes, just briefly, Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. To answer your question around capacity of the law enforcement agencies and the agency at which we're dealing with these matters. From AFU side, Chairperson, it's very important that we deal with these matters with agency, because as we have explained, the issue is dissipation of assets. So for AFU, it's quite critical that we move in urgently. So we have escalated the matter to DPSA, and Chairperson, we did report that the minister has given us a deviation to appoint investigators, financial investigators on contract for the next 24 months. So as far as creating capacity is concerned, we have now given approval, and as and when we need additional capacity, Chairperson, we are going to go back to the DPSA. I've personally met with a very big team from the DPSA who helped me put a memo before the minister that was approved. So in that regard, Chairperson will always make sure that we've got the adequate capacity to deal with these cases with agency and with speed. As far as the advocates are concerned, Chairperson, we did explain that we now have got permanent capacity, which we didn't have before we started with this Section 100 intervention cases. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that those inputs from the MPA would cover the aspects raised with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your responses to the questions and the comments made by honorable members. It always inspires confidence, and it's always good that we get such responses in the way that you are proceeding forward with your work. We are also quite conscious of the fact that the challenges that are facing the law enforcement agencies are quite huge. We want very effective law enforcement agencies that are able to achieve their stipulated mandate. We require law enforcement agencies that are resolute in their convictions to ensure that they make an indelible contribution in relation to the issues of crime in this country. And since we started in February this year, despite some glitches and some issues which arose from the beginning, we appreciate the fact that at all material times when we request the engagements with you, you are there to support us, you are there to enhance the work of this ad hoc committee. As I indicated, we had an extension until the 24th of June. On the 24th of June, we will table a report to Parliament about our work, about the engagements that we had, including the law enforcement agencies, about the issues that we have identified in the course of our work, and what is our view about each law enforcement agency in respect of dealing with the issues of crime and other issues that are assigned to the law enforcement agency. And in our view, what do we think need to be done to strengthen the capacity of the agencies, to support them, to work with them, to assist them in their work, so that at the end of the day, all of us are geared towards a common purpose, a common objective of making sure that we deal quite comprehensively with the allegations that were placed before you. And ours as Parliament and as the ad hoc committee, we will say we'll continue to observe what you're doing. And based on our discussion and how we view the work of the law enforcement agencies, we will make some recommendations to the House about how we must proceed in the future. I'm not sure what position will the House take in respect of continuing to engage and interact with the law enforcement agencies, because the work of this ad hoc committee will come to an end when we present the report, not unless Parliament says no, continue, because there are some outstanding issues that we need to follow up. But in our view, we think that there could be other ways in which Parliament continues to play oversight over these entities, to follow up on the issues of the Northwest, to ensure that at the end of the day, what is wrong is right. And all of that. With that, thank you very much. We've come to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for honoring our invitation and engaging with us. We highly, highly appreciate your contribution and the information that you shared with this committee. On that note, thank you once more. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In one going south.
That removes
Thank you, Chair.
The ombud.